Good morning, brothers and sisters. 170 miles away on the mountains, that so we're able to speak in this way. Good morning to you all, as I say. Together, brothers and sisters, we stand this morning. Your every morning is the love, our awakening and uprising proof, through sleep and darkness, safely brought, restored to life and power and thought. If you think it through, that sums up the rest of the other 4 or 5 verses in that hymn. Sleep, brothers and sisters, is the wonderful creation of God. All flesh needs restoration because it's frail. Jesus had to sleep because of his like nature. Perhaps we all tend to take sleep for granted. We do it every day of our life, don't we? And sometimes in between. At times we are physically exhausted. At times we are mentally incapable of thought. The wonder of it all is that it's all reversed overnight. Humans are creatures given to thought. Thought tires, sleep revives it. And it's that, brothers, this is what I want to talk about this morning. Thought. There's many ways we can think things through. We, brothers and sisters, are the product of our thinking. We are the product of our thinking. The way we think is what we are. And that should make a big difference between ourselves and those outside. Well, a product is an article which has been designed by thinking. A manufactured product, or civil engineering structure, is the result of thought. Personally, I reject the modern claims of banks, insurance companies, building societies and the like, who call their various services products. Technically, they're right, but as a man who spent a lifetime producing products, I reject that. To me, products are something which is invisible, something which has been made by hand. Well, God the Creator, brothers and sisters, his thinking, in the context and timing of detail of Genesis 1, is way above the total ingenuity of man's 6,000 years' existence. The very fact that man cannot create a tree or a blade of grass speaks volumes. The sheer genius of the timing of creation. Man explains it all the way in terms of billions of years, to put it all together by evolution. Industry today demands being right first time. That doesn't work in evolution. They want millions of years. Whereas it was right first time in all that God created. We are here, brothers and sisters, to celebrate God's love in giving his Son for our sinners to die. There was a thought process by the Creator to make that happen. We are the products of our thinking. We and all we see around us is the product of God's thinking. Every year, at the end of it, this theme of thinking and thought is in our readings. And there's 3 readings I want to turn to now, which I will read at speed because it takes a lot of time. And I'm looking now at Job chapter 42, reading at verses 1 to 5. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought, there is the word again, no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that I did counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered what I understood not, things which are too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here Job identifies in that verse 2 that God had thought. He thought it all through. And Job sees the thinking, and in verse 3 he says, it's all wonderful, it's not all too wonderful for me. It was way beyond his own thinking capacity. And in verse 5, he had heard God's thinking in his ears and by his eyes. And then also, in the end of the year, we have in the Malachi reading, a verse which means a lot. In chapter 3, verse 16, we read, then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord heard them and heard it. and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that, here's that word again, and that thought upon his name. And to me, brothers and sisters, this verse is about prayer. It's easy to hear prayers, almost by repetition at times, but what can we do in between? It's thinking it through. It's thinking about God and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the real prayer, so to speak. And here at the end of that verse, those worthy of salvation had thought on his name. They, in their lifetime, had been thinking about the many issues of discipleship. They had thought it through. It states here that they are inscribed in a book of remembrance. Turning now to Revelations, the end of the year, and as you might expect me, I'm going right to the end now. Revelations 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So, looking at that, brothers and sisters, the scriptures are the product of God's thinking. Here, what we have just read is not for man to add to or take from. To do so gives the possibility of having our name removed from the book of remembrance. God's will is fixed. The product of God's thinking is not for alteration by man. Thought process which we need to get on board has all been thought through by God for our understanding in Scripture. And the same thought idea comes out again in January in Genesis 1. God's thoughts through the creation plan. And Psalm 1 speaks of meditational thoughts by night and day. And in Matthew 1, verse 20, we have Joseph thinking through how he could cover up the condition of Miriam. But to allow or to remove Scripture undermines what's written in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. They're all Scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and truly furnished unto all good works. And we have a similar in 2 Peter 1 verse 20. Know this first, that no prophecy or teaching of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. As one of our hymns says, brothers and sisters, fixed and eternal are thy days, each glorious attribute divine. Well, what is it then, brothers and sisters, that is fixed? But it's the physical and spiritual creation of God through Jesus, who is now heir of all things. God created the physical world first, then man. God saw that man left to himself to indulge himself in his own inventions, as most do today. God made the new creation in the raising up of his Son, which would give man an understanding that man does not live by bread alone. This fact is the righteousness of God, which doesn't change. If God changed his plans and directions all the time, or even some of the time, we would not know where we are or where we stand. Therefore, we sing hymn 406 with confidence. O thou that changest not, abide with me. Or what is the thinking which makes us the corrupt of God? What is it that makes us sons and daughters of God? In a nutshell, it's his word expressed through Jesus. The required thinking is not the thoughts and human attitudes we were born with. We have to move on from that. The required thinking is on a much higher level, i.e. to absorb the mind of God, a challenge indeed to make an effort toward the divine nature. I often think, brothers and sisters, of Isaiah 55, because there's so much in that chapter. which is indispensable for us. And reading in Isaiah 55, it starts off, you know the chapter maybe well enough, Isaiah 55 verse 1. Hello everyone that curses, that's what it says in the ESV, and in the NIV, come everyone that thirsts. Come everyone that thirsts. Well, none of us here would class ourselves as being wicked. The lesson in this chapter for the wicked and for those trying to be righteous is in verse 7, where it says in that chapter, verse 7 of 15 Isaiah, forsake our own thinking and look to God. Verse 8 says, God says, I am different. My whole thought process is on a different and higher level. Right, so does it actually say, copy God? Yes, it does in verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. What we actually have here is a turnaround situation. This is what baptism is about. It's a declaration, not just to say, I accept Jesus, but to do his will. The turnaround is about a change of nature, to get nearer to the divine nature and thought. If we can't accept this, then incorrectly we are claiming to be wiser than God. But is it possible, we may ask, is it possible to be that good and follow to the very letter? No. We take comfort with Paul. Paul, the chosen of Jesus, had the Holy Spirit. What did he say? O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin? And we all fight that daily. Well, there was this man Paul, who was a product of his thinking, first in his diligence of the law, and later called to a new thinking, thinking to be nearer to his law. That, the product of Paul, we are told, was destroyed by men. Jesus, by our efforts, can present us faultless to Almighty God. And we are reminded minutes ago that God saw the need for a new creation of spiritual dimensions, and that evolved through Moses to Jesus. Moses' law was to a nation, Israel. Jesus' law was designed for all nations through their fall. Moses was a law for Israel, whether they did it or not. Jesus is a call for all men who want him by separation. Indeed, Jesus said, his thinking, God's thinking, would divide people, even at the family level. And that shows that we are individually responsible. That is the point. That is the point. The parable of the talents. It was not what others had done. It was what the individual had produced for the master. So what we are expected to produce from the thinking of Jesus, Scripture tells us that he was given us as an example for us to follow. And more than that, Jesus is the worked example, tried and tempted like as we are in all points. Well, without turning to it, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus outlines what he called, or what are called, nine blessed states or attitude for adoption, followed by numerous commandments and other recommendations for us to observe in those three chapters. The Lord's Prayer is there. When thought through, Word Short puts great responsibility on us believers. So what else is there in the New Testament which will engage our thinking to make us products of righteousness? There is, of course, much guidance in all of the New Testament books. One other quick look now at what Apostle Paul had to say to the Philippian believers. And I'm turning now to Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. I'm sure you know it well. Paul says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, Think on these things. Firstly, Paul echoes the Lord's teaching on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:25-34, that the believers are not to be anxious, but to entrust themselves to the righteousness of their Heavenly Father. We have to be kingdom orientated, have kingdom values, develop kingdom teaching, prepare to teach the kingdom of God. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, peace with God passes all understanding. That's in the AV. It passes all understanding. Human thinking may find the peace of God incomprehensible. Certainly, humanity is not peaceable, not even at family level. And we're told it passes all understanding in the AV. In the ESV, it surpasses all understanding, and in the NIV, transcends all understanding. The understanding here, I feel, is that God's love is beyond the human mind, which by nature is alien from God. Paul puts things which are true, honest, pure, lovely, and whatsoever is of good report up front, and paramount in the believer's mind and thinking. That's where it must be. Back to the beginning this morning, brothers and sisters. We are products of our thinking. Added to that list in verse 8, Paul says, think on these things. Let alone, Paul in verse 9 says, the God of peace shall be with you. The product which I've been speaking of, what is it, brothers and sisters? Put simply, we can say, being in the truth. But what does that mean? Well, other groups say they are in the truth, but that doesn't define what truth is. So what is it? You get an idea from what Paul's found, the difference between the believers in Thessalonica and those at Berea. Two different places, about 30 miles apart, Thessalonica and Berea. Berea was a city of the Hellenic Roman era, now known as Herodia, in northern Greece, in the then Macedonia, 30 miles from Thessalonica. And Paul says in Acts 17, verse 10, the brethren sent Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than that lot of Thessalonians, as we would say today, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. In short, they were seeking the rightness of things which would make them right with God. For us, the daily readings are an indispensable part of that search for us, brothers and sisters. The older we get, the more we see the clarity of it all, both in the Old and New Testaments. You might say there is a mindset there which we can sort out. We're told both in the Old and New Testament what believers should be like, what their mindset should be. And that product is to sanctify. And to sanctify means to set apart from everything else. If we have time, we could look at this in more detail, as people do set apart for all sorts of reasons, which are not just faith-orientated. But in the scripture, we have the words to sanctify, sanctification, sanctify, sanctify, and all means to set apart. I know in the history of the truth, some may find that difficult to do, but that's what we have to do. There is a separation between us and the world. That's where it comes in. In the New Testament, there is a selection of these words in 31 places. What these Berean believers were doing is what all believers should do. Now, I'm just going to give you a few examples. From that selection of 31 places, we find that the key word sanctify, what it does to make us a product so we are sanctified, we are set apart. For example, in Acts 26, verse 18, it says we are sanctified by faith. We're set apart by our faith. What is faith? It's the whole counsel of God as we understand it. That sets us apart from the teaching of those outside. John 17:19. We are sanctified through the truth. Or we have slightly a few minutes ago tried to define what the truth is. The truth is similar in a sense to the faith. It's something which sets us apart. Our understanding sets us apart. Our very understanding of prophecy sets us apart from the world outside. And in 1 Corinthians 1:2, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. We are sanctified, we are set apart from the things of this world by Christ Jesus, if we are to be called saints. 1 Timothy 4:5, we are sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So these scriptures can affect our mind on our approach to God and prayer, which is alien to the world outside. And in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. So the truth has to be part of us. Hebrews 9:13, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. So sanctification, as far as we're concerned, brothers and sisters, in the truth, it has to be part and parcel of our very being, the way we think. There are many other examples, of course. In short, both scriptures together explain how to be in Christ, which is the product in us. To be sanctified isn't a one-off condition obtained at baptism. Sanctified, to set apart, is an ongoing lifetime endeavor. And this meeting today is part of the turnaround process in the desire to be a reflection of Jesus, who sanctified is a lifetime process. And that is why we keep coming back, week by week, to remember Jesus. Not just to remember him as a person, as the world remembers people, but to understand again, if need be, the very principles which set us apart from the world. Today we celebrate again the life of the Prince of Peace, Jesus. At the age of 12, we were told in Luke's record that Jesus was in the temple, listening to the doctors and learned, and asking them questions. With Jesus, there was thought and thinking going on. And we know that the Lord had a detailed understanding of Scripture, a detailed knowledge of Scripture. His answer to his parents about the whereabouts, or about his whereabouts, met with the advanced reply for a lad of 12, "Why did you search for me? Did you know that I must be about my Father's house?" They didn't understand that at all. Jesus was not talking about any necessity of being in that temple, which was going to be destroyed. But in that temple, they knew the Lord, the temple of his body, in John 2. Coming now, brothers and sisters, to the raving of bread, just think of the thought Jesus put into the command to use bread and wine as symbols of his broken body and his lifeblood as a means for all time for believers to remember his teaching and example and love and above all his resurrection. And it's this doing this every week, brothers and sisters, which reminds us of who we are and who we serve, to try and put our house in order, to try and do better, to try and be more like him. The very thought of the bread and wine is unique in all history. We are the products of our thinking and obedience to Jesus. Jesus was not a product in the sense of my remarks today. He is the only begotten Son of God, the Saviour, who drank the grateful cup of pain and rose to life and joy again. Can our thoughts forget that? Free, brothers and sisters, free to that sacred fountain all, without a price made up. Thank you.